Today's Perek in Tanakh is Shmuel Beit, Perek Yud Beit. And we are at the turning point we just had yesterday, the story of David and Bathsheba. And we saw that the context of that story was the war that was going on in Amman, so that Yoav had been sent mopping up operations that ultimately were meant to take over the capital of Ammon, Rabbat Ammon. And that David, meanwhile, had stayed in Yerushalayim. Now, this itself had created a breakdown in the sense of what was happening in the country as a whole in terms of the Malchut. We had seen earlier that the Malchut was defined as a Malchut that was meant to be Milchama, and that David originally had made this an effort of all Klal Yisrael. He had gone out in front in order to establish the Gvulot all the way to Nahar Prat, from Nahar Mitzrayim, to go over the Plishtim, arranged for the, arranged for the Goyim to be the ones who were Porates originally, which allowed him now the excuse of going out and capturing the entire country. And what we saw yesterday was that something horrific has broken down. The thing that broke down, and it's clear that this is the backdrop to the entire understanding of the Bathsheba problem, what broke down was the fact that David is sitting in Yerushalayim, and Yoav v'Avdei David are out on the field fighting, and there seems to be a complete alienation between the two. In other words, life is going on as usual back at the ranch. And this causes now the entire merit of Uriah Hachiti, so that Uriah speaks very bitterly about that fact and actually uses it as an open undermining of David's authority, in which David tells him something, and he says, be damned if I would listen to anybody who would tell me to act as if things are normal and we should go to a jacuzzi and have fun with my wife when all of this is going on out there on the field, people are fighting and dying, and over here you guys have nothing to think about but wine, women, and song. That's not exactly the way to respond to David. And what we noted yesterday is that it seems that there was already an undercurrent of extreme dissatisfaction, not necessarily with that alone, but with what it was that had caused that. So that Avdei Yoav, that were identified now by Uriah Hachiti, who not coincidentally was married to the granddaughter of Achitophel, who was the greatest of David's enemies, putting all of that together, we noted that there was an undercurrent of disaster brooding. And this is what David had picked up. And we're going to see in this parak, as I mentioned yesterday, that Yoav has now become very sensitive to it. And it may be, in fact, that David wanted Yoav to know that he wanted Uriah Hachiti knocked off. Not because of Bathsheba. In other words, as far as Yoav was concerned, there was nothing other than the fact that here was a leading general in the army, one of the leading Giborei David, that's mentioned later on by name in the list of Giborei David. And David is telling Yoav, don't think that I don't know. I want this guy taken care of, but you're going to take care of him. And so what this must come back to, these are subtle points, what this must come back to is that in the end we recognize from the psukim, without needing any type of belief system, it's clear from every word in the pasuk that there was no chet in taking Bathsheba, technically. There was no chet in getting rid of Uriah Hachiti, technically. There was nothing here wrong except for the fact that the whole damn thing stinks. That was the problem. And that's why we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reaction only after the child is born, and David is sitting back thinking everything is great. And the only way that David can be brought to see what was wrong was by being shown why it stinks. And not by discussing with him whether there were any Isurim that were involved. And that is what needs to be done now in this parak. The question over here is whether there's been the type of breakdown that occurred with Shaul, in which we're going to deal with items. That's like when you deal with your kids. It's always item dealing, right? They'll argue each point, and that way you never get anywhere, because that isn't right, and that isn't right. This could be understood this way. And that's exactly what Shaul does, until Shmuel tells him, well, you just shut up already, because it's the arguments that's the problem. That's the problem. So here is where we are in danger of that very event happening with David. And the reason why we're in trouble is because David has been acting like an individual instead of like a melech. So the point of Malchut is to be entirely sensitive to nothing but the picture. The individual is irrelevant. He is no longer acting in terms of the picture. He's not fighting the wars of Klal Yisrael. He is sending generals to fight wars. The whole idea of David being the Melech, that's supposed to be the Mashiach Lokei Yaakov, as he views himself later, the whole idea is that he's going to be able to integrate Eretz Yisrael according to the original bris with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. These were the Sonei David that were planted in Yavuz, the Ivrim and the Pisrim, that made it clear that there was something very fundamentally missing in Klal Yisrael. That's what he's coming to do. So now, the difference between the Melech and a Yachid is expressed halachically in a beautiful way in the din of Kivush of Eretz Yisrael. There's a Kivush of a Melech, and there's a Kivush of a Yachid. Says the Gemara, all of the Kivush that David did had a din of Kivush Yachid. That's a halach. Now what that means is that we're paskening halacha l'maisa, which is nageh dinim of trumas maisus kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Isn't that a small question? Theoretically, was he well enough aware of his responsibilities? But that's not the question. Am I chayev as a chelek of Eretz Yisrael when I'm in Aram Tzova and Aram Narayim? Question. Well, I mean, of course, what do you mean? Klal Yisrael conquered that? No, they didn't. They didn't. No, because had it been done as a melech correctly, you don't think that there would have been the responsibility that would have been taken to deal with the Eretz Yisrael that was his in the capital? And he didn't do that. So as the Medrash puts it, the Yavuz next door you haven't yet asserted control over, but now you're up to Nahar Prat. That's really beautiful. So Yoav and Avdei David picked all of this up. And there was a lot of dissent that was brewing, not because they're angry at it, but because that's the nature of dissent. If the Melech is a Yachid, then there's nothing that's integrating the Yam. If it's not integrating, obviously it's going to fall apart. It doesn't even have to be that anybody articulates this. It happened that, yes, Uri Achiti did articulate it and made it clear that it was being resented by the army. But that isn't the point. The point is, how did it happen? So the very issues. And so at this point, what needs to be done is to reestablish the Malchus. And the question is, can David do that? And the only way he can do that, and it's amazing, the entire story is bracketed, both at the beginning and in the end, as we're going to see, by the actual war of Bnei Ammon. So we've left the war for a moment. We're back in Yerushalayim with David. We don't know what's going on back in Ammon. And it turns out nothing is going to be consummated there until David addresses this issue. So that they're just sitting around, getting nowhere.
David's aware of the breakdown?
No, not at all. As is usually the case, people just talk themselves into everything is okay because it's been so gradual that they don't understand where they came to. And of course, the issue is, as the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them straight out, the issue is sex. That's the issue. That's what you're going to be tested in. And I'm telling you, you're going to be tested. So be aware. You know, the moment that there's a question of some type of sexual attraction, you should know that's your test. Now, that's pretty dumb to fail that, isn't it? That's exactly what happens. The more you know, the more you fail. And as the Gemara points out, the more you have, the more you want. This is what happens to David. And because of it, it goes directly into the further scandals, sex scandals, they're all sex scandals, in the house of David itself. So we run directly into Amnon v'Tamar, and the only way that David eventually deals with the issue is, again, sexual. So that in the end we have Avishag HaShunamit reconstructing the initial Malchus, which was built of the relationship of Boaz and Ruth, and only then does David become Melech. And again, if you think about it, it's obvious that that which distinguishes a Yachid, which is Kivush Yachid, from a Melech is the extent at which the individual is defined by his own individual primal needs of reproduction and all of the implications of those needs. So if he's capable of being driven off of the path sexually, he is not a Melech. He's just a person. And therefore, in the context of those issues, it was a Kivush Yachid. Therefore, Ammon was not going to be conquered at this point once the thing had now become raised to the surface.
He becomes a person in the same context as Shoftim?
That's a violation of everything that he is. It doesn't help to be a Shoftim.
But it's
the same reason that the Shoftim fell apart. And so he needs to be shown that this is what he's done. And how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do that for him? Vayishlach Adonai et Natan el David. And so Hashem sends Natan Hanavi to David. Vayavo elav. Vayom elav. So he comes to David and he says, look, I've just been made aware of this horrible case, and I really feel that it needs to have a national response. I mean, yes, of course it could be. I mean, there's small issues here. They're not important issues. It's a $10 case that can be judged by any local court. But the issues involved here are so important that I would like your opinion from the point of view of national need. What would be done in a case like this? And here's the case. Two men are in the same city. Friends. Shnei Anashim Ayu B'Yerachah. Echad Ashir V'Echad Rash. One rich guy And there's one poor guy now, La'ashir ha'yatzon v'kar be'mod. The rich guy's got everything he wants. V'larash in kol. Whereas the poor man has nothing. All he has is this kivsa achat ketana shekana. He's got this little lamb that he's bought while it was young, and he's raised it in the house. This is, Chazal say that, in fact, Uriah had really taken her as a ketana from her father. So that Bathsheba had really been with her as a kivsa ketana. Vayechayeh, and they've been taking care of this little lamb. Vatigdal imo v'imbanav yachtav, and it's been raised in the family like a member of the family. Mipito tochal, mikoso tishte. So it's been eating on his table, drinking from him. Ubecheko tishka vatihilo kivat, which gives over the sense of the intimacy that we're talking about here. In other words, we're not just talking about a pet. And then vayavo helech leisha ashir, comes along a guy who's walking along, and he comes to the rich man. So he's got to give him something to eat. And so he doesn't want to waste one of his precious animals to give to the guest. Now, it wasn't a guest before, it was a passerby. It was a helech. All of a sudden, it's a guest. And so he figures, you know, why not take this guy's little lamb? I mean, it's worth less than anything that I have. I can always pay him for it. All of a sudden, it's not an oreach, it's the ish, it's the master. So he'll make it for the man who's come his way. And Chazal learned from here, that's the way it goes. The Yetzer Hara walks by. It's just halach, just passing by. So you want to respond just in passing. Well, the moment you respond in passing, all of a sudden, it's a guest, an honored guest. What do I bring it now? Mm-hmm. And then, it's no longer a guest, it's the master. So suddenly the boss, right? So he's giving him now an insight into what has gradually taken place. Vayichar av David b'ishma'ot. David says, this is the most outrageous thing I've ever heard. Vayomer al Natan, he says to Natan, Chai Adonai ki ben mavet, Aisha says. The guy who does something like that. No, because you're completely blind to the things that you do. This guy should be publicly hung. I mean, this is the kind of thing that, I understand there's no, I mean, obviously, halacha, there's no issue over here. The guy owes him $10, and that's the end of the story. But you know what? He should be killed. Because, I mean, there's got to be some sense of right on the public awareness. You're asking me what the malchut would do about a thing like this. The malchut would make a public example of it. Forget about it. Yishalim arba'atayim. Let him pay back four times as much. And Chazal Doresh, four times four, because in the end, we find that David is punished 16 times over. Even on the surface, it's only four, which we'll see. Ekev asher asat adavar hazeh, because he did this, v'lasher lo chabal, and he had no mercy, no feelings. That has to stop. And I'm going to make a point of stopping it. Of course, the word Ekev is always a key. Because Ekev means these are the things that people do that they don't know that they're doing. The things that you just walk over as you're walking along. Trampling with your Ekev is the way that Chazal put it. Vayomer Natan el David Ataish. We're talking about you, sir. That's a killer. You can't get closer than that. Ko amar Adonai Elohei Yisrael. I made you king. I saved you from Shaul. I gave you over everything that was Shaul's. I even gave you over the wives of Shaul in your lap. This is a reference, according to Chazal, to Ritzpah bat Ayam, which we spoke about earlier. The most loyal of the Shaul entourage, the only one who took the responsibility of sitting out there, as we'll see later, to watch the bodies of the Beit Shaul as they decayed, to give them honor. And I gave you everything. I made you king not only over Yehuda, but over all of the Shvatim. The Ima'at, that's not enough for you. I had in mind to give you like that again and again. It was just the beginning. And we learn out here, La Halacha, if we count the number that were mentioned before, the number of wives that David had, when we looked at the names of his children, there are six women that he was married to at that time. So from here we learn kahina, the kahina, that we can double that and triple that. So that means that a melech has a right to 18 wives. That's not considered to be a loyar bello, which is why when he wanted to take Avisha Gershunamit, he wasn't able to take her, because he already had 18. We count up the 18 now. So the Gemara actually brings a raya from there that divorce is so disastrous, because, I mean, Chazal could have told him, you need Avishak, so divorce one of your current wives or Pilakshim. But it was more kedai to be mater him, to be playing around with the Pnuya, because you have to be mater Yichud of a Pnuya and so on, all of which was a creation of David's family. But at least not to get divorced. That's how serious we view divorce. In any event, getting back to here, and I give you all of this, and this was only a beginning, and I was going to give you everything. Can you tell me, Madua Bazita Edvar Adonai, why have you looked in such a way of bizayon? I mean, you have completely, completely trampled over what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Latzot hara be'inav. And now, it should say be'inai, because this is the decree, because this is the message that the Navi is saying, he will directly from the Dvar Hashem. So even though it's be'inav in terms of the message, but he's saying it in first person. To do what is bad in my eyes. Et uriah chiti kita b'chera v'tishtola kakta l'cha l'isha. Now, this is a complicated statement. I mean, first you say you killed him with the cherub. Then you say at the end of Torah, the cherub b'nei Amon. So clearly what it's indicating is, in order to etishtol akachtol akalisha. In other words, it wasn't the fact of his death that's important. He was supposed to be killed. You're right. It was chayev as a morid b'malchut. But it took place in the context of your wanting his wife. Now, that doesn't smell to you? What's the difference whether it's technically correct? And it's bad enough that you killed him. But you kill him b'cherev b'nei Amon. So on the one hand, as Chazal point out, the very fact that it says b'cherev b'nei Amon means, obviously you're not responsible for his death. In the same way that anybody who's killed b'cherev b'nei Amon, it's not your responsibility. That's part of the war. As you say, k'elev v'chelo yochula milchama. That's fine. B'cherev and milchama is not your responsibility. So I'm not coming to talk to you about your technical responsibility. I'm coming to discuss whether you aided, abetted, and encouraged the enemies of Klal Yisrael for your own purposes. That's what I want to know. B'nei Amon had to know that they killed one of the leading generals because you needed to make a point. You really think that that was the most effective way to make that point? That's outrageous. V'ata? And from this point on, lo tasur cherev mi beitcha ad olam. You want to use a cherev? We'll teach you about a cherev. Every generation of your home is going to be involved with murder. Ekev, again, that word, ki bizitani. You have despised me the way that you have. Vatikachet eshet uri achiti liyot lecha leisha. And now you go ahead and you take his wife and decide that you could settle in with this and have this little baby, and now everything is just fine. Well, I got news for you. Ko ama Adonai, inani mekim alecha ra'a mi beitecha. You think that you can bring things into your home? That's what you did. Took her, asafta al beito, took her into your home. Has a child. Well, let me tell you the kind of children that you're going to have to throw you out of your home. V'lakachti et nashecha le'enecha v'natati l'reyecha. In broad daylight, not what you did, in broad daylight, I'm going to have your wives taken from you, given to somebody else, v'shachavim nashecha le'enei ha-shemesh hazot, right here in front of broad daylight that we're in right now. Everybody will watch while you sit and see your wife sleeping with somebody else. That fits. Gata asita basata, you doing all of your nasty things in secret. Vani aset adavar hazeh neged kol Yisrael neged HaShemesh. I will do this publicly. I will do this in the open. Of course, this was part of the issue that Chazal say. The issue was that it was besetah. It's all true. So go to Bezdan. Go to Sanhedrin. Don't let people say that this had something to do with the way that you were carrying on. The whole point is transparency. You want a malchus? Go into Sanhedrin. Say this is what the guy said. What do you hold? We hold Shmur of a malchus. Thank you. Just wanted to make sure that the court paskins that way and everybody knows. Instead, it's all now sneaky. And instead, it's all now justifiable. We don't want justifiable. We want a malchus. So you want to do things sneaking around. I do things like a malach. And so, in complete contradistinction to Shaul, David's responses, Vayomer David al Natan Chatati l'Adonai. Again, it's clear that the sin that he's saying is he recognizes the chet is in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not, I treated Uriah Chiti rottenly, and so on and so forth. I see now the picture. This is indeed a chet. Vayomer Natan al David gam Adonai Yavir Chatatcha lo tamut. That recognition is what I was told. If that comes, then I'm to tell you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mochel you, is ma'avir deschit. But, efes, kini etz ni'atzet oyvei Adonai v'adavar hazeh, but by aiding and abetting the enemies of God, whether it's in terms of Bnei Amon or whether it's in terms of those who will from this point on take the most valuable thing of all, which is you, and look down at it because of what you did. And this is not only the Goyim, but all of the Oyvei David throughout all of this time. Gam ha-bein ha-yilod lecha mot yumat. There is no way to save your child. That child is going to die. Vayelech Natan el Beito, vayigof Adonai et ha-yelad asher yalada eshet Uri el David, vayanash. And so as Natan walked home to his house, HaKadosh Baruch Hu smote the boy, and he became deathly ill. Vayevakish David et ha-Elohim ba'ad ha-Nohar, but David, of course, and David, of course, knowing that even v'cherev chadas munachat al tzavarosh l'adam al yitya'esh min harachamim, and that just because a Navi says something is going to happen, if it's l'ra, it doesn't have to happen. And there's ways that he could get deeper into a tikkun than what he's already done. And of course, remember, this is the essence of Malchus Yehuda that we're talking about over here. The reason that Yehuda is called Yehuda is because he knows how to say, I was wrong. He's modeh. So that what David did now was, there was no discussions, no chatat kesem, Mary, and all of this trafim haftzar. There was no haftzar at all. The instant the picture was shown to him, he saw the picture, recognized how it touched the deepest part of his own psychology. And this comes out in Tehillim, because in Tehillim he details the way that he feels about it. And there he says, it was only to you that this was a chet, of course. And I see that. And it's truth. Emet chafatzta batuchot. You want in the deepest parts of our insides truth. Okay, that's what this was all about. That wasn't there. And so he attempts to continue to do teshuvah and to turn aside this gezerah. No, that's the whole pshat, is that there was nothing wrong. There was everything right with the relationship. It was only the context that was wrong. Vayotzom David tzom... Sorry, you weren't here yesterday. You left it. Vayotzom David tzom uva velan v'shachav arza. And so he began to fast, and he lied down on the ground and refused to get up, wouldn't go to sleep in his bed. Vayakum ziknei beito alav lakimom in haaretz, and all of the leading masters of the house of David came to try to get him up and to start acting like he's alive again. V'lo ava, he refused. V'lo varaitam lachem, he refused to participate in their meals, wouldn't eat. And this goes on. V'yi b'yom ha-shevi'i, it's the seventh day. V'yomot ha-yelet, the child dies. V'yiru ha-dei avdid, David la-agid lo, ki met ha-yelet. They were terrified of telling him because they thought he was crazy. Ki amru, hinei v'yot ha-yelet, chai dibarno elav lo shema b'koleinu. We tried to make him normal while the child is alive, and he completely ignored any rational discussion. V'ich nomar elav met ha-yelet, how are we going to tell him now the child died? He's liable to hurt himself. V'yasara'a, I mean, he's off his rocker. So he sees that his household there is whispering. He understood, obviously, the child had died. Did he die? He gets up from the ground. He goes and takes a shower. He goes and gets cleaned up and puts on his own perfumes. He dresses nicely. He goes to the mokum that he had been making for the orein. Vayishtachu, he bows down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayavo el Beito, comes back to his house and asks for a dinner. Vayishal, vayasimu lalachem, vayocha. When he finishes, vayimru avadav elav, can you explain your madness? Ma'adavar hazeh asher asita. Bavor yelet chai, tzamta vatev. The child is still alive, and you haven't faced tragedy yet. You're worried, and for worry, you're sitting there going out of your mind. Unable to eat, unable to concentrate, unable to do anything, and then kasher meita yelet kamta vatoch alacha, and the child dies now like nothing. We don't see any emotional response at all. I don't understand. Vayomer, what's there to understand? Isn't it obvious? Ba'oda yelet chai tzamti vefkev. I'm not crying because I'm sick emotionally and don't know how to deal with a sick child. Terrible things happen to children. That's the issue. I was tzamti vevkeki amarti miyodea yechanani adonai v'chayan yalem. As long as there's hope, you have to put every last possibility into place. It may make a difference that I care enough, and that care can bring me to teshuva, and maybe we can be mitakein ata. He's dead now, right? So lamazan nitzam. I don't understand. And I'm going to now fast in order to bring him back to life. What are you guys are crazy? I'm going to bring him back to life now. I'm on my way to the grave. He's never going to come back here. Vayinachem David et Beit Batsheva ishto. And so the next thing that he did was to comfort Batsheva and again get her pregnant to make up for this loss. So again, it's clear. There is no possible way in the world that somebody who's just been punished for sleeping with Batsheva decides that the way in which he's going to be metaken is chet is by sleeping with Batsheva and fathering another child. That's nuts. So it's obvious from the whole story, from beginning to end, that the focus is not on the sexual relationship with Batsheva. On the contrary, and this is as the Medrash tells us, that Ruya Aita Batsheva, for the Gemara says, Ruya Aita Batsheva Bisheshitim Ebereshit for David. This is meant to be the fathering of Malchus Yisrael, which is Shlomo, and this is actually the conception of Shlomo that we're about to hear. And
she's called Ishto.
She's 100% Ishto for the first time, a beautiful diak, right? As opposed to what Barnea pointed out before, that until now it's always Eshet Uriah, Eshet Uriah. It becomes Ishto here because now truly she is his, even though she had been his, you would say, after the get took place, and this goes all the way back to Lamafreya, the first time that they slept together, and he had already taken her into that, but it was not Ishto. Again, contextually, she was still Eshet Uriah. This is the way people looked at it. This is the way people would talk about it from this point on. Here the pasuk is made that now it is his wife, entirely his wife. And for the first time, now vayavoy leah vayishkavima, now he could come to her as if for the first time. That's why we separate vayavoy leah vayishkavima. Isn't that the same thing? It's not the same thing. So to be ba means to enter into a relationship. Vaishkav is specifically the sexual element that we would say he slept with her, but that's not the point. So that vatelet ben vaikra et shemo shelomo vadunai ahivo. And so they had a child. He called the name of the child Shlomo. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved this boy. Vaishlach biyad Natan Anavi. And so he sent a message to Natan that I want to give the boy a name too. Vaikra et shemo Yedidya. And they called the name Yedidya, the Yedid of Hashem, which of course is the same name as David, essentially. And that's the Anida Dodiva Dodili. Ba'avur Adonai. So again, that this should be a special child to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the one that would be making the entire Malchus Yisrael and Malchus Mashiach. To put it into the context of chet simply does not make sense. So it just confirms the entire approach of Chazal, what comes out clear from two full prakim, that the issue over here is that an ish cannot be a melech, and a melech is not an ish. It's not a kibush yachid, it has to be the kibush of Yisrael. And at this point, we now finally are ready to get back to Bnei Amon. So that what this jarring transition is not a jarring transition at all. It's the beginning and the closing of the story, which is bracketed by the relationship to the war in Ammon. That's what started the problem, and that's what has to finish the problem. So now that David has acknowledged the need to be a melech, it's Yoav, and this is perfect. Yoav, on a simple level, it's Yoav who now is getting worried. But on a deeper level, it's Yoav who now picks up that this was crazy. It should never have been done by a Yachid. And now it's reaching a climax. If Rabat Bnei Amon is taken over by a Yachid, me, we're going to have nothing but Tzoros. It's got to be an act of Malchut. And so, Vayilachen Yoav b'Rabat Bnei Amon. Meanwhile, Yoav is working on this war. Vayokod et Ira Melucha. And he captures, indeed, the royal city. Now, the royal city is a specific, like we have the Mitsuda in the Yavuz, was the specific area of royalty, and that was indeed set aside, and he was able to capture that area first. Vayishlach Yoav malachim el David, and so he sends messengers to David, vayomer nilchamti b'rabba, gam lachadati et ir hamayim. I have been successful, and I have also been successful in capturing the area of the city that includes all of the water supply. So this is, remember that Rabat was right at the source of the Yabok, and which is the reason that it's positioned where it is. And I have captured the sources of the Yabok, which means that the city is going to fall, because they don't have any water. They only have what they've stored. V'yata, and now I'm telling you, this is not the time for me to continue. Esof et yeter ha'am v'chanei ala'ir v'lo'da. I want you to gather the entire country. You come out here. Pen el kod aniyat ha'ir. Because if it's going to fall, it's going to fall soon. V'nikra shmi aleha. And I don't want it to be known that I was the one who captured it. It's got to be the kingdom that captures this city. Again, this can be read on the same two levels. I don't want to be in the position that you were in vis-a-vis Shaul, in which the women are coming out to greet me. Yoav, the great conqueror. And I know where that goes. And it's enough that we've gotten to the point that we've gotten, where it's me and you and sitting back in Yerushalayim and a small force of an army that does the work while the shopping centers are full. It's time for coming out here. Vayasov David et kol ha'am vayelech rabat. And so indeed, David HaMelech gathers the entire nation so that it should be done as the am vayelachem ba vayilkidna. And he fights and he captures it. Vayikach et ateret malkam mi'al rosho. And he takes the crown of the melech off of his head, mishkalaki karzahav, it weighed an enormous amount, the Even Yikara, and it had a famous Hope Diamond. Vatihi al Rosh David, Ushlala Yir Hotzi, Harbe Ma'od. It became now the crown that was put on the head of David, and now stood in as the first of an immense amount of booty that was taken from the city. All of it was brought out in order to show and in order to parade. Now, according to Chazal, this is the name of their Avodah Zarah. Ateret Malkam is not really just a reference to the particular king of Amman that was there, but rather it represented their entire worship, which is why it was the Kikar Zahav and so on. So as you know, we have the famous Avodah Zarah, which is Molech. So Ateret Malkam is identified by Chazal as being the symbol of Molech. This is what they had used. And then the question is, of course, how was it mutter for him to be able to be nene from something that was Avodah Zarah, or Tekrovat Avodah Zarah? So the Gemara says that it was Itai Agiti who came, and that means that they understand Itai Agiti to be a goy that actually was from Gat. And we had the same issue by Uriah Achiti. Was Uriah Achiti originally a Chiti who had become a Ger? Or was it Uriah who lived among the Chitim? So this is something that, again, it's not clear, but the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that since a goy is able to be mavatal in Avodah Zarah, so they had Itai Hagiti be mavatal, this is in Avodah Zarah, which allowed David to be able to use it for himself. So it became now a kivush, not only a political kivush, but a kivush of the destruction of Avodah Zarah, which of course is part of the entire war, the original war of Yoshua. That the other approach now is that this was literally Kikar Zahav, which means that it weighed a ton. There's no possible way for somebody to put this on. It was really made for Avodah Zarah. And the whole point of it was, according to Chazal, remarkably, that this wonderful Even that it had in it was a technological Even that allowed it to be magnetically suspended so that it was actually in the air, it's part of the magical effects that were needed for the Avodah Zarah. That was the only way that David was able to put it on his head. Obviously, it would have crushed his head completely if it were in the Kikar of Zahab. So what they did was they used the magnetic mechanism of this Even in it, and in such a way that when David would sit on his throne, this thing was suspended like directly above his head, so that it looked like he was wearing that which used to be the impact that they had, this magical crown that would be impacting the entire world and belief in the Molech. And so the Melech Yisrael became indeed the power of the Molech, which is very cute. There's actually a similar story in Isaac Asimov's Foundation series, where the Foundation provides for a king on some little planet somewhere exactly this kind of mechanism in order to get the populace to believe that he's a god king. Now remember, we started off with an attempt to redo the wars of Yoshua. From the time of the story of Ammon, because the messenger had to stay in Yericho, exactly the way that it was before, we find that David's response was to be ma'aker, all of the horses, destroy the Merkava. That is only found in Yoshua. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yoshua, that's what you must do. You have to be oker, the susin. So that means that he himself saw this as a continuation of the original Kivush Haaretz. The original Kivush Haaretz, although it was done with, at the time that finally Yoshua was unable to do it as the Melech, he had a din of Malchus, but in having given it over to the various Shvatim to continue, we found that Alpi the Urim V'Tumim, when it was asked, Mi Ale Rishon, it was Yod Rishon, that was viewed as a national Kivush, except that it's the responsibilities are Mechul. Luck. David HaMelech, in order to take up that national responsibility, had to take it up as a Melech. And that means that the same pressures that were present at the time of Yoshua, which made it impossible to complete the Kibush, in which there was the drive to institutionalize and get back to a normal life after 14 years of Kibush and Yerusha, were still present. So that the breakdown of years, the continued breakdown from the time of Yoshua, which was meant to be a milchama not only for territory, but a milchama that established the moral ascendancy of Yisrael and the destruction of Avodah Zarah, that too needed to be done over here, had failed, and it was a Kivush Yochid until now. And so when David comes back, his response is to treat now Bnei Amon in the way in which they had treated initially the Umay Sa'elam at the time of the original Kivush. And so he takes now the Shalal, the Etash Ham Asher Bahotzi, he takes the people that were fighting in the city of Amman, he takes them out of Rabbah, and Vayasam, so now the Vayasam, first of all, always means he makes them a tribute. That always means mas. So that means asa'am lemas. And bimag bamgeira. So that means that he had them working as, a simple pshat, is that he had them working on migerot. In other words, he turned them into people who would do work with stone, and they would shave stones and so on. Ubecharitze habarzel, which are the things that you use for disha. So we'd have them working on all of the tough jobs, the disha of things. So he, or it may mean becharitze habarzel, the place where he had mines, meaning michrot, charit, to dig out now with cracking open the earth in order to get out metal. So it's possible that it would mean that. In other words, he put them into hard labor camps, would be the simple meaning of this. Ubemagzirot habarzel, these are the things that you're making now, swords that you would make in barzel. Vehavir otam, and he would move them from place to place in order to turn them into walking camps of workers. Bimalbein, which again doesn't, it's something that has to do with building bricks, is the Pashtas. So Malbein is a brick making machine. He would have them work in Malbein. Vechenya selechol orevene Amon. He would do this with all of the people of Amon, to all of the people, meaning all of the Pashtas. Again, Am Hamilchama, not simply the population as a whole. So the way in which it's read, the way in which it's read bePashtut is that he put them to work. Now, if we learn the way that Chazal understand it, not Kipshuta, and the Targum actually is Metargum this way, then the meaning of it is, Amar Shabot, see, he took them out, and he, Vayasa means that he punished them. He used saws, iron threshing boards, iron axes, dragged them through the muddy streets, and that's what he would do to all the cities of Bnei Amon. The tremendous cruelty that we saw before. And that Nachash, horrific. I mean, the man was a walking nightmare. That was being expressed now in the way that Hanun had responded was something that needed to be uprooted once and for all. What we have over here now is therefore a story of the reconstruction, or the attempt to reconstruct the Malchus, but it's clear that we've been mortally wounded. In other words, everything that David had done up until this time had been done with that sense of transparency, the sense of tmimut, the openness about his reactions. He always made a tremendous effort to show his own emotional commitment to things openly. Anybody that had attempted to push him against Shaul, that had asked him to act in ways that were only commensurate with an individual's desire to be king, and not with the nature of the development of a malchut as an emergent phenomena that becomes a king because it's time for such a thing to happen. He was doche b'shtei yadayim, and always made a point of viciously undermining anybody who would speak politics to him, or who would do something that was political, whether it was in terms of positioning him against Shaul, or chas v'shalom bringing him the head of Shaul's son, or giving him the grand news of Shaul's demise, and so on. These people he killed. And this story with Avner, to make it clear that he would have no part in any politicizing of these. Here, for the first time, there is a fatal wound in the entire approach of David, because now he's been exposed as an individual. And everything until this moment, he was purely Melech. And that's the secret of the success of the Malchut, is to be purely Melech. The moment that people got the whiff of personal need, personal desire, willingness to hide things, acting under the table, between the lines, relying on the letter of the law instead of the beauty of what the Malchus was meant to be, from this point on he's wounded, and that wound goes so deep that it, by nature, brings the result which HaKadosh Baruch Hu had warned him was going to happen. And so the first child, the Arba Atayim, the first child that he loses is Yeled. Then we get on to the story of Amnon and Tamar, Avshalom. This disaster is now in the waiting, and those disasters are coming in the proclamation. Yashav David v'chol ha'am Yerushalayim. And now this is an attempt to come back as David leading the Am back to Yerushalayim to once again reinvigorate the sense of a national destiny in which the nation is at war and not Tzahal is at war. And that, of course, causes even Bismanenu a tremendous breakdown in which there's no desire to fight. So we try to handle things. This is not a war. It's an operation. How many times have we heard that one? We don't want it to be a war. It's only going to be a police action. This is what he was attempting to do by sending out Yoav and a select force rather than mobilizing the country. And the result is inevitably a loss in the belief of the meaning of such war, of the morality of such war, and the ability to win such a war. And this is exactly what Yoav and Uriah Hiti themselves were picking up. And this is what needed to be established now, coming back into Yerushalayim to be, in a sense, Mechadesh et HaMelucha.